news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Happy President's Day. This is the first President's Day in which the U.S. is operating under a new paradigm, one in which Congress has no powers of oversight over the office of the president, thanks to the outcome of the second impeachment trial of former failed President Donald Trump. No one really thought the feckless Republicans in the Senate would show any spine, so the result was what we expected. Former President Donald Trump was acquitted by the Senate on Saturday in his second impeachment trial. Now, a majority of senators voted guilty. The final tally was 57 to 43. But impeachment requires two-thirds of the vote for conviction. All 50 senators who caucus with the Democrats voted to convict, and they were joined by seven of their Republican colleagues, Senators Richard Burr of North Carolina, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. The vote capped off a chaotic day, which began with a surprising 55 to 45 vote in favor of calling witnesses, a move that would have extended the proceedings well into next week. Ultimately, though, the two sides agreed not to bring anyone in to testify. Jamie Raskin got the testimony that he wanted to get in person included in the record, and the trial finished up quickly as planned. But as was the case with his 2016 election victory, Trump's win came by minority vote. In 2016, he lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton by 3 million votes. In his second impeachment trial, Trump again lost the popular vote. This time, it was 57 to 43. But again, in this case, a two-thirds majority, or 67 votes, were needed for conviction. So even though a clear majority of 57 voted for conviction, the minority acquitted him. President Joe Biden has been keeping quiet regarding the impeachment, but on Saturday night he issued a statement in which he said that while the final vote didn't garner the two-thirds majority required for conviction, quote, the substance of the charge is not in dispute. Biden noted that seven Republicans voted guilty, and even those who voted to acquit Trump, like Mitch McConnell, believe Trump was responsible for provoking the January 6th riot. Biden continued in the statement, quote, this sad chapter in our history has reminded us that democracy is fragile, that it must always be defended, that we must be ever vigilant, that violence and extremism has no place in America, and that each of us has a duty and responsibility as Americans, and especially as leaders, to defend the truth and defeat the lies. Well, there are lots of reasons why this happened, and we'll undoubtedly get into that today on the Nicole Sandler Show. But the big question is, what now? How do we hold this man accountable for his actions? Well, as I mentioned before, Mitch McConnell, in his floor speech following the vote, seemed to be calling for criminal charges. Although he did vote for acquittal, once it was over, he delivered a scathing speech from the Senate floor, eviscerating Trump.
There's no question. None. That President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it. The people who stormed this building believed they were acting on the wishes and instructions of their president. And having that belief was a foreseeable consequence of the growing crescendo of false statements, conspiracy theories, and reckless hyperbole which the defeated president kept shouting into the largest megaphone on planet Earth. The issue is not only the president's intemperate language on January 6th. It is not just his endorsement of remarks in which an associate urged, quote, trial by combat. It was also the entire manufactured atmosphere of looming catastrophe, the increasingly wild myths about a reverse landslide election that was somehow being stolen, some secret coup by our now president. Now, I defended the president's right to bring any complaints to our legal system. The legal system spoke. The Electoral College spoke. As I stood up and said clearly at that time, the election was settled. It was over. But that just really opened a new chapter of even wilder and more unfounded claims. The leader of the free world cannot spend weeks thundering that shadowy forces are stealing our country and then feign surprise when people believe him and do reckless things.
Yeah, kind of hypocritical, but we'll get into that later, too. The thing is, McConnell isn't alone in that line of thinking. Some quick research shows that Trump's legal troubles may be just beginning. Prosecutors in Georgia are conducting criminal investigations into his attempts to overturn the state's election results, while prosecutors in New York are looking into his business dealings. Trump is also facing civil state inquiries and defamation lawsuits by two women who've accused him of sexual assault. And many elected officials have suggested forming a bipartisan 9/11-style commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And those calls are coming from both sides of the aisle. Even Senator Lindsey Graham, one of Trump's most sycophantic supporters, said a commission is necessary, quote, to find out what happened and make sure it never happens again. By the way, point of historical order here, Lindsey Graham was a House manager during the Bill Clinton impeachment trial, in which six House members who later became senators impeached Clinton in the House but voted to acquit Trump. Blunt, Portman, Thune, Crapo, Moron, and Wicker. And four current senators who voted to acquit Trump voted to convict Bill Clinton: Grassley, Inhofe, Shelby, and McConnell. So let's see, lying about oral sex is worse than inciting an insurrection? Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, one of the seven who voted to convict Trump, told ABC's George Stephanopoulos that he supports, quote, a complete investigation about what happened on January 6th, including why law enforcement wasn't adequately deployed. I want to know that one, too. And what was known, who knew it, and when did they know it? By the way, for standing up for the truth and country over party, the Louisiana Republican Party's executive committee voted unanimously to censure Bill Cassidy, who just won re-election in November. That vote coming just hours after the Senate voted to acquit Trump. The Democratic House impeachment managers on Sunday defended their decision not to call witnesses in Trump's impeachment trial, which would have extended proceedings both parties wanted to wrap up quickly. And despite what I think was a mistake by not calling witnesses, I still think lead impeachment manager Jamie Raskin and his team did an amazing job.
He will not spend one day in jail if you convict him. This is not a criminal proceeding. This is about preserving the republic, dear Senate. That's what this is about, setting standards of conduct for the president of the United States so this never happens to us again. So rather than yelling at us and screaming about how we didn't have time to get all of the facts about what your client did, bring your client up here and have him testify under oath about why he was sending out tweets denouncing the vice president of the United States while the vice president was being hunted down by a mob that wanted to hang him and was chanting in this building, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, traitor, traitor, traitor.
Jamie Raskin appeared on Meet the Press.
Trump knew exactly what they were doing. He knew that that mob, which he had deployed, was there, you know, occupying people's offices and threatening Congress. So it was there for everybody to see.
Right.
So we could have had 1,000 witnesses, but that could not have overcome the kinds of silly arguments that people like McConnell and Capito are hanging their hats on. They're trying to have it both ways.
Moving right along, some encouraging news on the pandemic front. COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are declining in the U.S., but we're still not in the clear. More than 38 million Americans so far have received at least their first vaccine dose, but vaccination numbers are down. But the vaccinations are not what's driving the case numbers down. Experts are saying it's following the safety measures that have been prescribed: wearing masks, physical distancing, not traveling, and not congregating with others indoors. And it's especially important that those behaviors continue, because vaccinations won't be widely available to most Americans until late spring or even early summer. And then there are the new variants popping up, which include a troubling batch of mutations that have been found in U.S. coronavirus samples. Cold enough for you? I know, sorry. It is the middle of February when it's supposed to be cold, but this is ridiculous. Nearly 170 million people, about half of all Americans, are under winter weather advisories, with icy roads, power outages, and dangerously low temperatures threatening to snarl traffic and paralyze cities from coast to coast. From the Midwest on south through Texas, snow is falling and temperatures are insane. Texas, which has been shivering through record cold, like 4 degrees in Dallas and 12 in Houston, could see the worst of it Monday night when temperatures could fall between minus 10 and minus 15 as far south as the Texas Panhandle, with single digits and teens making it to the Gulf of Mexico. They're warning Houston could start early Tuesday morning at 10 degrees, which would be its coldest reading since 1989. President Biden on Sunday marked the third anniversary of the deadly Parkland, Florida school shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School by urging Congress to pass common sense gun law reforms to help curb an epidemic of gun violence. He called for requiring background checks on all gun sales, banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, and eliminating immunity for gun manufacturers responsible for making, quote, weapons of war widely available. In a statement, he said, quote, this administration will not wait for the next mass shooting to heed that call. We will take action to end our epidemic of gun violence and make our schools and communities safer. So are you one of the millions who lost health insurance along with your job due to COVID? Well, beginning Monday, February 15th, there's a special open enrollment period to enable anyone who wants it to get insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Just go to healthcare.gov. The exchange is now open. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.